There is a clash of interests between shul rabbis, let's say, darshanim, and Bali Kriya about the calendar for these parshios. Hezriya and Mitzora, do you want them to be combined? Or do you want them to be separate? Like this year, you have a leap year, you can have Hezriya and Mitzora separately. So the Bali Kriya are happy this year when it's separate. It's easier to learn the parsha. It's also a lot easier for Shnai Mikra V'Efta Targum. But it's harder on the rabbis. You have to speak for 2 weeks in a row about mysterious diseases that don't happen nowadays. But it's not as hard as it seems, because we know it's not really about the diseases. We get to speak about Lashon Hara. And you can never speak about Lashon Hara. There's always more Lashon Hara to speak. And Chazal tell us that that's really what it's about. That's really what's under the surface. That's what's between the lines. That the cause, really one of the causes, the Gemara tells us that there are a few causes, but one of the major causes of these mysterious diseases is Lashon Hara. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Erechin. Badad Yeshev, the Pasuk says, that the individual afflicted with Tzaras shall be in quarantine, he shall sit by himself. Why, says the Gemara, who hivdil benish l'reyehu? He separated people, b'lashon hara. He spoke badly about others and caused divisions within society. So, it's appropriate, he should be separated out. That's the tradition that Chazal have, that this is one of the dominant causes, lashon hara. The word mitzora itself, it's apparently a contraction of the words motzi shemra. So even though we don't find it really spelled out in the parsha, this is what Chazal tell us. This is actually one of the main causes of tzaras. Now the truth is, it actually is spelled out explicitly in the Torah. It's just not in this week's parsha or in next week's parsha. It's spelled out in Parshas Baloscha. We want to find what's the cause of tzaras, so we have to wait a few months, and we have to wait for Parshas Baloscha, where we are told very clearly in the Chumash itself what causes tzaras. There we have the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe, and immediately we find cause and effect, she is stricken with tzaras. So indeed, there it is in the Chumash itself, even if it's not here, but it's there. We're told that Lashon Hara causes tzaras. And the truth is, that episode, Parshas Baloscha, is actually very instructive for us to understand these parshios, not only in that way. Yes, it teaches us that Lashon Hara causes tzaras. It also helps us to understand what Lashon Hara is, and how it creates those divisions that the Gemara that Rashi quotes is telling us is what tzaras comes to atone for and what the quarantine of tzaras comes to atone for. Because the truth is, there's a lot to learn from that episode of Miriam that we don't always fully appreciate. We don't always fully think about. When we ponder what is the issue of Lashon Hara, what's the issue? So we often think, okay, what's the prohibition? The prohibition is, if I tell you something bad that somebody did, that's Lashon Hara. And yes, that's the first step, but that's not necessarily where the offense lies. That's not necessarily where the Chomer HaAveira is. And we can learn that from looking at the episode of Miriam. This is actually the paradigmatic incident of Lashon Hara in the Torah. There is a mitzvah to remember the episode of Miriam. According to the Ramban, this is one of the 613 mitzvos in the Torah. It's a real obligation in order to keep us away from the Avera of Lashon Hara. So therefore, it's particularly important to look to that episode, especially taken in conjunction with our two parshios here, this week and next week, creates a particularly important message. We have to look to all three of the parshios together to remember the message. We should look to Miriam and what it teaches us about the issue of Lashon Hara. So what was going on in that story? Is it that Miriam was telling Aaron, hey, guess what happened? Is that what was going on? Doesn't seem like it. At least that's not main point of what was going on. Was she conveying to him new information? Moshe separated from his wife. Maybe Aaron had known that already, maybe not. It's a little bit of a discussion. But one way or another, that wasn't the main Avera. What was the main Avera? The main Avera was her interpretation and the analysis and the spin, how they interpreted what that meant, and their judgment and their assessment of that episode. And that's where the main Chumras HaAveira of Lashon Hara lies. And that's something I think we often miss. We think that, okay, if we relay a piece of information, that's the Avera. And if the person we're talking to already knows that information, and we want to speculate about what's behind it, or what that represents, that's not really so terrible. So if I were to tell you Reuven came late to Shir today, I probably shouldn't have said that. That's Lashon Hara. But you already know we came late to Shir today. And then you start talking about it, even thinking about, well, why did he come late? Came late because he doesn't take learning seriously, doesn't care about Torah, he was up late wasting time. All of that doesn't strike you as so serious, but that's where the real Avera of Lashon Hara falls. And that's the core message, and many Achronim highlight this based on a technical issue that they discuss at length. Futner has a piece about this in his essays on Shavuos, where he writes, the main Avera of Miriam was a lack in being Dan L'Chavschus, was in the interpretation. And that essentially, when we look at what it is that builds walls between people, what it is that creates divisions, it's the story that we build based on that initial fact. So yes, there's still an Avera in relaying that piece of factual information. But the real severity of Lashon Hara, the real Chumrah, comes from all of the spin and all of the interpretation that follows. Our subjective analysis of what it means, the patterns that we try to create based on that little snippet of information, stories that we build on top of one little episode, and that we assume that we can derive from this one little piece of information, that's where a lot of the damage happens. And it happens in particular large social settings. It can happen in the yeshiva context, and that's very often where there are divisions, where you have cliques, where you have people who are excluded, where you have people who can't find friends because there are stories that get created because you see a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and there are interpretations that get built, and there are stories that get formed just from a tiny little detail that aren't fair, that aren't reasonable, and that's where the real Avera of Lashon Hara happens, and we miss that because we think Lashon Hara is only in saying that factual detail. And the story of Miriam, which is what led to that Saras, which is what these Parshiyos are about, teaches us that that's only the first step, and so much of the real Chumrah comes from what happens afterwards. And that damage can happen in a large social grouping like a yeshiva, like a university. And it also comes up very much in the world of dating. And this is an area where we have to be very, very careful how we talk. We know that when it comes to shiduchim, so yes, it's important sometimes to ask questions. And a lot of harm happens because there are marriages that take place where there wasn't sufficient questioning and where there wasn't sufficient sharing of real, genuine information. And people didn't know what they needed to know before entering into a relationship. But that has to do with actual facts. But when it comes to people's interpretations and subjective opinions and the assessments that they make based on little snippets of information and perhaps an inflated opinion of how much they can derive from the little that they know, there's a tremendous amount of damage that can happen. And that's again where genuine Lashon Hara, in the truest sense, and of a very harmful nature can take place. Spoke in this Beis Medrash a few years ago of a very harmful trend that has developed where Talmidim of the yeshiva turn to each other for their opinions of whether they see a relationship taking place or not, whether they think it's shayach, and they're supposed to turn to their sense of prophecy in order to be able to tell you whether it's going to work or not. I recommended then that if your friend tells you they don't see it, you should ask them whether they didn't see it in a chazon or a mara or an astrofari hamira, because there's no way really you could know. But this continues to be something we have to be very sensitive to, because anything beyond actual factual information can inflict tremendous harm. And this is also a very serious concern when it comes to talking about superficial things such as attractiveness. And this is an area also where we have to be very, very careful how we speak, for concerns in several directions, whether you're talking positively or you're talking negatively. If you're talking positively, for sure, there are serious concerns in terms of breaches at SNIAS, where there's been a very significant shift in terms of people's sensitivities, and that's something we have to be very aware of and very concerned about. But also, when talking negatively, there is an absolute prohibition of Lashon Hara that can do phenomenal damage, because this is an area where we are talking about something that is completely subjective. And this is something which has no inherent truth by definition. And a person making a negative comment in this area, or a comparatively negative comment, can do phenomenal damage, because an individual is incredibly affected by comments that they hear other people say, and the impression that can be created by a comment that's said from one of their friends can last forever. And that can totally affect everything that comes afterwards. And being that, again, there's no inherent truth, because we're talking about something that is, by its nature, completely subjective, that really is the definition of Lashon Hara. We're talking about something that is incredibly harmful, that can prevent a potentially lifelong happy marriage from happening, and is not based on anything objectively true. Eimlecha Lashon Hara, gadol mizu. If you think about it, you know, the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos tells us, and even those who never learned the Gemara know if they ever went to a Jewish wedding. The Gemara tells us, Ketza Meraktin Lifne Hakala. The answer, Kalanda V'chasudah. What they don't tell you at the wedding is that's only one opinion. Right? It's the opinion of Beis Hillel. The other opinion is Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is concerned, what if you're not so impressed? So maybe we should be concerned with Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And Beis Shammai's opinion is Kala Kamoshu. Say Kala Kamoshu. Say something you can get behind. Don't say something that you don't believe is 100% true. But we paskin like Beis Hillel, you always say Kala Nova Chasid. So one could ask two questions on this Gemara. One is, what about Beis Shammai's point? Why are we concerned about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, if Beis Shammai invokes? What if you don't believe it's true? And two, out of all the midos that we could be bringing up at this point, why is this what the Gemara highlights? Why is this the most important thing to talk about? Kala Nova Chasuda. Why is that the most important thing? The Gemara says, this is what we should always say at the Chasim. I think you could suggest there's a reason, there's a common answer to both questions. It has to do with the fact that this is one midah that is indeed completely subjective. So therefore, if you were to say this at a wedding, Kala Nova Chasuda, there's no risk that you are misleading the Chasim, and you are creating the reality that it's true. So if you were to go to a wedding and say, oh, she's a tremendous Yiras Shamayim, or you were to say to the Kala, he is never going to get angry, or he's totally honest, if you're wrong, and you're misleading her, or you're misleading him, you could do a lot of damage. If you would say something incorrect in those areas, it could cause a lot of harm. But here, you can't cause harm because by definition it's true, if the chassid and the kala believe it about each other. And you create its truth by telling them that. If you don't believe me, there's a book you can read called Useful Delusions that explains how the mind is capable of creating that truth by believing it to be the case. So I think that's what the Gemara is getting at, that if we say this, kalanav chasuda, so then you create that truth, and there's no risk of it being wrong, there's no harm. And therefore we see inversely that if you were to say the opposite, there's tremendous potential of creating harm. Again, that's the definition of Lashon Hara. We have to be incredibly careful about what kind of damage we can do by talking like that. And therefore, this extends also to the world of pictures. So one might think, okay, a picture, that's objective. That's not somebody else's speech. What harm can that do? It can do a lot of harm. It creates a whole culture where people are talking about these things. And again, it goes very much to the issue of the breach of sneas. And it goes to comparative discussions and people seeking other people's opinions, which really don't matter. And it has a tremendous negative effect, and it's something I think we should be very, very concerned about the impact that it has on the nature of these relationships. And it brings up the question also of why it is that the Gemara recommends this whole statement in addition to what we just said, but what's the impact of saying Kala Nava Chasuda and all of the efforts that we do towards Simchas Chasim V'Kala, so the whole chesed that's involved there. It's an unusual kind of chesed, because most of the categories of chesed that we have are about helping out people who are in a bad period of time or suffering in some way. So normally somebody's having a hard time, so we have to help them. Simchas Chasim Kala is an unusual kind of chesed. Somebody's in a good time and we're supposed to make them happier. It's not the usual type of chesed. And Rav Pam suggested that the purpose of things like Kala Nava Chasuda is to create a reserve, essentially. So when you go to the wedding night, everyone is trying to create a certain foundation of reserve, because sometime after the wedding, the chassan and kala are going to have their first fight. And there's going to be a moment of weakness. There's going to be a little fraying in the relationship. And it's going to be beneficial that there's going to be a memory that a few months ago, there was a night when everyone around was telling the chassan and kala, the two of you, you're the luckiest people in the world. And this is the most special relationship you could possibly have. You're the luckiest person imaginable. So when there's that moment of weakness, that reserve, that buffer will be there to help them. So you say all those things on the wedding night in order to make sure that you're going to be able to build that structure to protect them. So if you think about that, what's the potential in the opposite direction? So when you contribute, God forbid, to that kind of Lashon Hara, to saying something which again is meaningless but harmful, sometimes it has the potential to prevent what could have been a great relationship from getting started. And that would be terrible. But sometimes it won't necessarily prevent it from happening, but it could do its damage later in the exact opposite way. So then that first fight will happen. And then they'll say, you know what? I remember now what I heard about you. I remember why I wasn't so sure this was such a great idea. I think my friends told me they don't see it. I didn't listen to them then. Now I realize, yeah, they didn't see it. Now what kind of impact will that have? Now what does Rashi tell us in this week's parsha? Hu hivdil bein ish le'ishto b'lashon hara. He caused the wall with his stories between a man and his wife. Didn't necessarily happen in the moment. Maybe it was something that he said years before. Maybe it was something that he said to his chavrusa in the yeshiva. When he said to him, I heard about this suggestion. What do you think? I don't see it. What do you think of the picture? I don't see it. Maybe that had a little bit of an effect. And even though they did get married, years down the line, when they had the first fight, it had that impact. And hu hivdil bein ish l'ishto b'lashon hara. The message of Miriam, the message of these parshios, is that we have to be very, very careful that there's an impact may not even be felt in the moment. It could be years down the line. And who knows, we may have a Beis HaMikdash then, and Saras might be back. So you want to be particularly careful. So the stories we tell have a tremendous impact. And we are in the zone now of preparing for Pesach. Pesach is the night where it's all about telling stories. Our ability to tell stories in an effective and accurate and powerful way is the key to our success. We need to protect our ability to do that well. And in this chus of our being able to do so, may we merit a true redemption and true and genuine chayrus. Thank you.